Hey guys, welcome officially for the first time to season 3 of Dream On Lucid Dreaming and Sleep. My name is Jennifer and I am still your host. So today's episode is PTSD and Trauma Dreams with Hawa. This is part one of a series that I did. Hawa is the guest in the first episode, and then in the next episode I'll have a different guest who's also very cool. And I thought that it was important to, first of all, address the fact that there was, in fact, a break between season 2 and season 3. This was not something that I anticipated, but I started a new medication, coincidentally, right before season 3 was about to come out, and it made me really depressed. So I took that medication for several weeks, and then I stopped taking it, and I'm good now. But that's why there was a break, because I was severely depressed and was like, should I get off the medication? It was this whole thing. But I'm good now, and that's my excuse for why there was a break. So moving on to this episode, I wanted to thank Hawa again for being on the show with me. She was such an amazing guest. She's a really cool person, and we're totally like friends now. Like, she's so awesome. And I can't wait for you guys to hear from her in this episode. And you should definitely go check out her podcast called It's Just a Dream. Super cool. Love it. I listen. But this episode specifically, right, is not a super fun episode, because obviously we're talking about PTSD and trauma dreams, and we talk about some really heavy topics, and I don't want anyone to be listening to the episode and be caught off guard. So at the beginning, I just wanted to say that in this episode, we will be talking about medical trauma, pain, abuse, rape, including of a child, depression, attempted suicide, mental illness struggles, and just generally some really sad stuff. So if anything in there sounds like something that you feel like you can't listen to, or you shouldn't listen to, or you really don't want to listen to, then this is probably not an episode for you, and I do suggest that you skip it. This will not be the last time that I have Hawa on the podcast, and she has her whole like own podcast to listen to if you want to hear from her more. But you know, this episode is a lot. And if you can't handle that, then that's totally fine. We're all in a different place. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone knew before they went into the episode what was coming. It is pretty long. It's like an hour and 20 some minutes. So it's a decent size episode. And we had some really good conversations. And again, I really appreciate Hawa being on the podcast. I can't wait to have her on again. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I hope you learned something. Thank you so much, and go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dream On podcast. This is your host, Jennifer, and this is season 3, episode 1. And to kick off the new season, and thank you all for being with me for so long, I am here with my really good internet friend, Hawa, and she actually has her own podcast all about dreams, and I have met with her before just like as a friend, and I think that she's a really cool person, and I think that as you listen to this podcast, you'll notice that our speech patterns are very similar, and just like our vibe is very similar. Like, I think that we get along really well, and like her podcast is so cool. And I'm just really excited that she was able to be here today and record with me. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear from her. And you should also listen to her podcast. So, Hawa, I'd love it if you could tell them a little bit about yours and like what you do.
Oh my gosh. Firstly, thank you for like gassing me up. I appreciate it. Oh my gosh. So my name is Hawa. Like Jennifer said, hi, I'm Hawa. How are you? I also have a podcast called It's Just a Dream. On that podcast, I like to share the craziest dreams I've had in a storytelling kind of style. And then I also analyze my dreams and my viewers as well. So that's what I kind of do. If you like storytelling, crazy dreams, dreams about superheroes fighting a cult, or like experimented kids freaking revolting against a company or something like that. That's a cool place. Sinking cruise ships. That one was sad. That one's sad. If you want to hear about my one lucid dream where I die from a mint, that's where you want to go. That's where you get all the good stuff. You can also learn about dream analysis, how to analyze your dreams, how to open up your subconscious and learn things like that. All of that jazz. So that's a good place to go check it out. It's Just a Dream podcast. You can also check out my Instagram. And I think it's, whoa, do I not know my Instagram? This is embarrassing.
I also follow her account, so you can just look at who I follow and she's there. So this episode, we obviously are talking about trauma and PTSD dreams, which is actually something that a lot of people experience. And obviously, just over the course of a human lifetime, you're pretty much guaranteed to go through some sort of trauma. Just in general, life is a traumatic experience. Like, yes, like, you're not going to make it through your lifetime without experiencing something traumatic at some point. And that is obviously different things for different people. Some people are just naturally more sensitive, and so things are hard for them, and some people are like resilient people or whatever, but they will still have a trauma. They will, because life is just hard. And obviously, when you go through hard things, there are impacts of that psychologically. And one of the ways that that can impact you is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And I actually experienced PTSD. I was diagnosed with it when I was, goodness, I was probably, I don't remember if it was my freshman year or my sophomore year of high school. I think it was sophomore. But yeah, I was diagnosed with PTSD. I went through like some health issues when I was in sixth grade, and it ended up with me, I missed a lot of school. I went to the hospital a few times. It was just overall a really bad experience. And I totally thought that, like, just in case you haven't noticed by now, we're talking about PTSD and trauma. So this could be a triggering episode for some people. And like, before I go farther into what I was just saying, if you're going to be triggered by this episode, please don't listen to it. Like, I obviously don't know where this is going to go, but we're going to be talking about some heavy stuff because that's just the nature of where we're going with this. So if you think that there are things that you are worried about that we might talk about, like, you should probably not listen to this, and then maybe you can come back later when you're in a better place. So,
you know what you should do? You should check out her recent meditation episode. She got a little angry in that. I don't know. Was that just me? Like, near the end, she was getting a little angry, but it's good.
I do not remember being angry in that episode. So I don't know what that's about.
Maybe you weren't angry. You were like heated because you were like, you can't just be sitting there painting, not realizing that there's a rat there. You have to ask questions. You have to be aware of your surroundings. I was like, whoa, Jennifer, calm down. It's okay.
But anyway, back to what I was saying. Assuming that everyone has left who's going to be triggered by what I'm going to say. I was in the hospital a lot. It was very difficult. And I actually thought that I was going to die. And so I went through this whole process where I was a child. I was like, I think I was 11. And I went through this whole process of like accepting my death and like coming to terms with the fact that I was going to die. And obviously I lived because I'm here. But there were some after effects from that that didn't really come back to bother me until a couple years down the road. And I experienced panic attacks when I went to the doctor's office. I experienced panic attacks when I cleaned the bathroom because it smelled like a doctor's office, just the chemicals. And it really did. It affected my life in negative ways. And I was like, wow, like, it's time to seek help. So I sought help. And I am glad that I did, because I think at this point I would consider myself symptom free. Like,
I'm actually able to talk about this with you, Hawa, and everyone listening. And I'm able to be coherent when I talk about it and I'm not freaking out or anything. Like, I really have, like, put everything behind me, and it's just something in the past. And so that's really good. And I think that it's important to talk about PTSD in just all spaces and really make people realize that it's not something that you should be afraid to talk about. It's not something that you'll never recover from, because you can totally recover from it no matter what the trauma was. And you can function again just in normal life. And a lot of people have PTSD, and you can get it from anything that was traumatic for you as a person. And it can happen at any point in your life from anything, just something that really was traumatic for you. Like, if you were a little kid and your dog died and that really affected you, you could totally have PTSD from that. It's not something that's like you have to be in a war to get PTSD. And that's really what people think of. But it could be anything that deeply affected you.
Yeah, I think a good example of that is the pandemic. A lot of people went through a lot of hardships, losing family, losing jobs, being like evicted from your home. All of those things could cause you to have PTSD. And even like, you know, food insecurities and all those things could cause you to have PTSD of that time. Even though we're still coming up from the pandemic, all of that could have caused PTSD. I know it caused a lot of mental health issues with depression, being trapped inside the house and all of that. So that's a perfect example of something traumatic that could have happened.
Yes. And I'm so glad you said that too, because PTSD, it doesn't have to be just one like catalyst event. It can be one of those like prolonged periods of very difficult stress, because then essentially at the end of the stressful period, it's almost like your body just never comes down from the stress. And so you stay in that like, I just almost like chronically on state where you just kind of never turn off and you never come down from that. And so that really can come out of any sort of very stressful time or stressful event. And like I said, it can affect any person at any time. There's no specific group of people that it will affect and other people it won't affect. It could just be anyone. And one of the symptoms of PTSD that's extremely common, which is what makes it relevant to this podcast, is the fact that when you have PTSD, for a lot of people, they experience trouble sleeping, they experience insomnia, and they also experience frequent nightmares. And that's what we're here to talk about today, because obviously this is a sleep podcast. So we are here to talk about nightmares related to PTSD. And the first thing I want to talk about with you, Hawa, is how PTSD symptoms manifest in dreams.
Yes. So you literally talked about your PTSD journey, so I should probably talk about mine. let you just go off and I'm like, same girly. I was diagnosed with PTSD May of 2019, but the trauma that I experienced, I had it happen to me around the same age as you did, and the height of the symptoms and PTSD trauma and dreams was all through high school. So I was completely undiagnosed and didn't get any help until May of 2019, and the worst of it was when I was in high school and I had no idea what was happening. Like, it was terrifying because the trauma I experienced was basically when I was around your age, I was violently sexually assaulted by someone within my family. Very traumatic, obviously. And obviously, being very young and being sheltered, I just was like, I'm not going to acknowledge this. And because I kept suppressing it and not acknowledging it, by the time I got to high school and, you know, puberty and you have to learn about sex and all those things, it like manifested really badly. So I was having these horrible panic attacks, like words were triggering me really bad, all these horrible things, these night terrors, nightmares, and I didn't understand what was happening, and my family didn't understand what was happening either. And I for context, I come from a very religious African household, so they were like, you're possessed. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think this is possession. I think this is something else. But, like, they wouldn't let me get the help I needed. So I had to struggle those 4 years dealing with it and trying to understand what happened. And what helped me get that diagnosis was actually another traumatic experience I had, which it wasn't as bad. It was a shooting. I mean, saying that out loud, it sounds bad. But the shooting heightened some of those symptoms within my PTSD that helped me get diagnosed. So I'm actually weirdly grateful for that shooting, because if it didn't happen, I probably would still be undiagnosed to this day. So I finally got diagnosed, and then this is where I should be like, oh my God, and then I finally got help, but I didn't. I'm still in the process of trying to get help, so I'm still dealing with some of those symptoms. It's a lot better now than what it was those 4 years. But because of the healthcare system and all that stuff, I'm still trying to get a therapy appointment, get like medication and all that stuff. But yeah. I'm in the States. I'm in Wisconsin. But my family's originally from the Gambia, West Africa. Yeah. So that's my experience with my PTSD. I forgot the question.
Yeah. I mean, well, I just want to say, like, just, like, you as my friend, like, I think that you're really strong for being able to even talk about that. Because it's, like, I just think that's amazing. And I really admire you for being able to do that. Because it makes people feel less alone when they hear about things like that, like, oh well, you know, other people have been through what I've been through. And like, it really helps people so much to hear that other people understand. And I think that you're really admirable for being able to even say, you know, your struggles.
Stop, you're gonna make me cry. That's so sweet. Yeah, no, it was really hard. Like, honestly, going to college, my roommate and my best friend, when they told me, they're like, oh yeah, I was raped too. I was sexually assaulted too. I was like, I'm not the only one. This is amazing. I mean, obviously not amazing because the trauma. Let me. Oh no. But like, finally, like, I was like, oh my God, someone knows what it's like. Like, I thought I was the only one experiencing it. So yeah, you're not alone. If you want to talk about it, hit me up. I'm more than willing to talk about it. But yeah, that's my trauma.
Circling back, we are going to talk about how PTSD symptoms manifest in dreams. And obviously, our traumas, even though they happened at like a similar age, they were very different in nature. So obviously, they would manifest very differently just in our dreams and everything. And just like probably our reactions to things obviously happened at different times. But for me, the way that it manifested in my dreams, it actually didn't start happening until at least a year passed prior to me surviving and not dying. And it was like that. So the whole thing happened, right, where I was in and out of the hospital. It started in the summer before sixth grade. And then it lasted through to the beginning of Christmas break of that year. So the overall thing was about 6 months from beginning to end, but the really bad period was 4 months. So it was like a really horrible 4 months. And then all of a sudden they were like, okay, like, you have this condition called appendicular colic, we think. And if you don't know, colic literally just means sickness. So they were like, you know, we think something is wrong with your appendix, and it's not appendicitis, but we're just going to take it out because we think that that'll fix everything. And so they did, and the surgery was a success. And by Christmas of that break, I was like good. Like, I was walking around, I was good. And I immediately knew that like the pain that I had just from recovering from the surgery was different than it had been before. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm good. And so then I kind of had like this euphoric high for a couple months, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm alive. And it was just like, I was so just like high on life, and I was like, I lived. And then I like went back to school and I had like these moments where I was like talking to my peers and I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't relate to you anymore. Like, because it was like, it was like I would just be talking to them and then I'd be like, oh my gosh, like I don't care about what we're talking about. Because it was like, I had just like matured so fast to the point of being almost like 90 years old and like confronting human mortality. And I was like, now what am I supposed to do? And so then that really was like, I think that was like the first moment that I experienced like something negative in the like post effects. But then it took again that like full year for me to start having nightmares. And so I would have trouble sleeping at night and essentially I would just lay there and I would just think about everything that happened. And I would just have these like flashbacks of like being in the hospital and like going to the doctor's office over and over again. And it was like I was like reliving it just like every night when I was trying to go to sleep. And then obviously you dream about what you think about before bed anyway. So I would fall asleep and then I would have dreams about it. And there were like nightmare dreams, but I think there were also just general stress dreams where I would have dreams where I was talking to the doctor about my symptoms and like essentially just reliving the whole thing. And it was like I never stopped living through it. And so it really was looking back that my mind was just trying so desperately to process it. And it just couldn't get through what had happened. And I just could not process it because it was just so difficult and hard for me to understand. And so it just kept happening. And so for me, it was really just a reliving. And it wasn't like it did sometimes come into other dreams, but in general, it didn't stray into dreams that were about something else. Like I wouldn't be having a dream and then it would just like shift over and be about that. It would be that just I would have these dreams all the time that were just about that. And the whole dream was just reliving it. So for me, it really was just a direct reliving.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's like, if you don't know, one of the symptoms of PTSD are these nightmares. And the nightmares are literally you reliving it. It's not like a Raven Baxter moment where you have like a fucking flashback, but you are reliving like the emotions that you felt in that moment. And it's really hard to convince yourself that what you're feeling is not real, you know? So that can be really hard, especially since some of those emotions are not like your typical emotions. They're like rooted in like primal fear, which is something you can't override. So yeah. So when you dreamed, was it like in first person or did the perspective shift?
For me, I think that's a good point too, because a lot of the times now my normal dreams are for first person and third person. But then they were all first person. There was no outside. It was all first person because it was just, I think it was going for that realism factor. You know what I mean? Like just really going in for the realism. So they were all, yes, it was like POV, this is you. And in the dream, I was like, I believe it. And like, I am literally someone that has always lucid dreamed, right? I could not get lucid in those because they were so real to me. The emotion and the experience was so real to me that for me it was really happening, and there was no like, oh, this is a dream. Like I don't think I ever became lucid in one of those, and if I did, it was near the end and I was already waking up, and then I was just like, no, I just want to wake up. Like I didn't want to deal with it. So
my experience with PTSD dreams is like different from yours in the sense of, because I didn't know what was going on, I didn't know what was happening, it manifested in like multiple different ways. So, man, where should I start? Okay, I'll start from like high school. So in high school, one of the biggest symptoms I was dealing with was paranoia, like fear of this person like coming back to hurt me. So that would show up a lot in my dreams, and it still does to this day. I call it the intruder dream, where it will be a normal dream where I'm going grocery shopping, for example, and I'm buying bananas, and let's say I'm with my mom. And then throughout the dream, just buying bananas with my mom. And then halfway through, I'll realize that person's not my mom. This is an intruder that's pretending to be my mom. And it's either this person was my mom before but has replaced my mom without me realizing it, or they were never my mom. And that's really scary, because then I get really scared because I'm like, oh my God, who is this? And I get the feeling that I felt when I experienced the traumatic experience, which is scary in that sense. And then I can't get out of the dream. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where like you're stuck in a dream and you're trying to wake yourself up, but you like, yeah, that's where it gets scary, because I don't know that the person, the intruder per se in the dream, never does anything. But it's the fact that I know that they will. Like, I don't know when they're going to do something to me, but they're going to do something to me that freaks me out. And so that's a dream. That's like a theme that always shows up in my dreams, even to this day. It manifests in different ways. And sometimes, especially when it was really bad, I would have those dreams like every single night, to the point where I just stopped sleeping for like weeks on end, because I was like, I don't want to go to sleep. I'm scared now. So I think during my sixth semester of college, I was having this issue with the same thing of the intruder dream, but it was with the Japanese statue, the Momo statue. Instead, I would just see her. I would just see that ugly ass statue. If you don't know what it is, just look it up. I'm not gonna give you any warning. It's creepy as fuck. Just look it up. That's it. But I would be having a normal dream. I'm having one of my fun dreams, and then all of a sudden I would just see her face, and she would just be looking at me. That's it. She wouldn't do anything, but it was the fear that she could do something to me that would like scare me. And even like sometimes when my subconscious wants to just wake me up and ruin my life, it will do that sometimes. Sometimes like her face will just flash in front of me in my dreams, and then I'll like wake up to like, because it works. She's scary. So that's one thing that happened a lot in my dreams. Another thing that would happen is like, I still have this problem, but I tend to disassociate a lot. When I'm in stressful situations, I still do it now. If you don't know what disassociation is, it's basically like retreating from reality, like going into your mind to retreat from reality. And so it used to be really bad where like sometimes mid-conversations, I would just disassociate completely and I'd blink, and then like people would be like talking about something else and I wasn't there. And my first semester of college, people would be like, oh yeah, Hawa, yeah, the lights are on in there, but no one's home. Because that's how often I would just disassociate. And so I think the only like slight positive, the tiny positive of PTSD, is that I would have these like super crazy outlandish dreams with like these like Oscar worthy plots that are so amazing that I want to spend all my time sleeping to like have these crazy dreams. So that was like the only good thing. I could like escape into my dreams and have these like super crazy, awesome, fantastical dreams. But then the negative side of it was I was spending all my time sleeping to like escape the stress of reality and stuff. So I wouldn't have to deal with this trauma that I wasn't allowing myself to like deal with. Like I was purposely ignoring it because I was like, I don't want to talk about it. Which is like a whole other issue, which don't do. Therapy, okay? If you take anything from this podcast episode, therapy is so important. But like, yeah, also nightmare fuel. A lot of nightmare fuel. I have so much nightmare fuel, girls. And guys, and non-binary pals. You're not going to sleep. But like I would be sleeping all the time, or I'd be like reading all the time or trying to escape from reality so much that like I wasn't living. And so sometimes I'd tune in and I'd be like, oh my freaking God, I've been brushing my teeth for like 10 minutes and I didn't even realize because I was like daydreaming. So yeah, those are like the two main ones that I can think of. Right. Relax. Cut them some slack. Okay.
Yeah, because PTSD itself is, it's essentially that your physical brain, like your hypothalamus, the fear center in your brain, has been switched on and it cannot turn off. Like you, it is a physical thing. And like when you look at the brains of people with PTSD, it's different from just your average human brain. Like you, they can see that that part of the brain is just like on more. And they can see in like your blood and stuff that you have more of these like excited chemicals, like these nervous chemicals that make you just more hyped, because it is a stress disorder. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. And so you're just stressed all the time. And of course that would manifest when you're sleeping too, because sleep is supposed to be a time of rest. And if you're on all the time, of course, when you sleep and your body's trying to rest, it's going to be different than normal.
Yeah. And honestly, I can understand not wanting to get help, because I was in, girl, I was in your shoes too, because I was like, oh no, I don't want to acknowledge that it happened, because if I say it happened, then it happened. And I don't think I can be ready for that. And I remember the first time I went to therapy that my school provided, and the therapist started talking to me about it, I was like, oh no, okay, yeah, I can't do this. I can't handle it right now. I'm not in the right space to handle it. Like, this is triggering. So make sure you go when you're ready, but make sure you have like people to talk to, because I didn't have anyone to talk to about it, and it was horrible. I felt alone the entire, I was alone. Like, sometimes when people say, I feel like I'm so alone, it's because they are. They are alone. I was like alone during the whole thing. I had no one to talk to about it, or anyone. I didn't even understand what was happening to me. So I didn't even know how to articulate what was happening to me. So it can be really scary and jarring. But like, you know, you just have to like get through it. I don't know how to. I don't know. I don't know how I got here, but I did. So. You can do it too. This is not good advice. you'll get through it, bestie.
So obviously, the nightmares that we've talked about are, I mean, like a lot of the things are things that anyone could experience in a nightmare, right? Like anyone could have a scary dream where like their mom's not their mom. But what makes a PTSD dream different from just a normal nightmare is that it is very clear to the person having the dream, like, that there are a series of dreams that are happening. And even if it's not clear, like, immediately after they wake up or whatever, looking back at the dreams, it is very obvious that they all stemmed from this specific experience and, like, the trauma. And it's not just that they're having, like, so, like, obviously, when you have PTSD, you'll probably have just in general more nightmares. But, like, it's different when you have PTSD and you have these nightmares, because it's very clear that they have a source that's not like, oh, I saw a scary movie. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, I watched this a really scary film and then I had a nightmare about it. Like, it's like, no. Like, these come from real life, and they come from something the person actually experienced. And if we follow the line of scientific thought that dreams are us processing our lives and storing memories, then that means that when we have these recurring dreams and these dreams that just happen over and over again where the same things happen, it's our minds trying to understand and like trying to process and get over what happened. And in the case of PTSD, like, that really is not possible. Like, you can't just pretend that a trauma didn't happen, because, like, I know, me too. And that's what PTSD is. It's like you try to get over something and you're like, that was fine. Like I know that for me, I was like, I know I thought I was gonna die, but like I didn't. So what do I even need to think about? Like, what is there left to think about? Because nothing really happened. And I was like going through almost this like imposter thing, because I was like, but nothing even happened. Like, I know I thought that I had like a terminal illness, but it wasn't terminal. So why am I like, why do I even care anymore? Because it's over. And it turns out I was fine the whole time. And so I was thinking that like, even though during the experience, I thought that I was going to die, I was like, well, why does that matter? Because that wasn't true. And it's like, it doesn't matter if it wasn't true. What matters is your perspective as the person living through it, because it's your mind that now has to deal with what happened. So the outside perspective, or the like retrospective perspective where you're looking back, that really doesn't matter in terms of how you lived through it at the time, because what happened is what happened, and that's in the past now. And so going forward, you have to look at it as a past event. And it's just that PTSD doesn't let you do that, because it's this whole, like, you're actively trying to process something. And that's why it keeps coming up.
Yeah, especially with, to piggyback off you, the emotions you're feeling cannot be overridden. That's like really important to state. You cannot override the emotions because you think you are in that situation. And of course, it can be on like a varying degree, like a spectrum per se, right? Of how strong those emotions are. So like for me, it could be like as small as like, wow, this actually like just really ruined my day. Like this freaking sucks, my day things. And then as bad as like, oh my God, this person's in the house. They're in this house with me. They're going to hurt me. I need to get out of the situation. So when it's at that level, and let's say you're in a dream and you can't tell the difference, because our brains are like the smartest and like dumbest thing at the same time. So like drowning, fear of drowning and fear of public speaking is the same thing to the brain. They're just going to be like, oh my God, I'm dying. I'm dying. And it's like, no, bestie, you're not dying. You're on a stage. You're fine. But it's kind of the same thing when you're in a PTS dream versus a normal dream. At a certain point, you can override your fear and be like, okay, like, it's a freaking rat teaching a class. I'm fine. You know? Like, it's fine. I'm okay. Versus, like, in the moment, you're like, I'm in this situation. I'm going to die. I have no way of overriding this. I don't know what to do. And sometimes that can lead to very, like, drastic measures. So, yeah, that's where it can get really scary.
Yeah. And that really applies to all life things, too. Because people look back and be like, oh my gosh, like, I should have gone to this university. Or like, oh, I should have not dated that person. And it's like, you don't know until it's already passed. Like, there are some things that you just can't know until you go through. And you don't need to place that blame on yourself. Because it's like, there's no need to bully yourself. Like, look at all the things they already had to deal with. Like, you don't have to bully them too. Exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. So, yeah, it is really important to just have, like, that compassion and stuff. But, like, overcoming PTSD is a different process for everyone, and it's a very personal process. And I would recommend that when and if you decide to face PTSD and like try to overcome it, you should really like your therapist, because if you're with a therapist that you don't like, or that you don't really get along with, or you don't trust, then that's not gonna work. Oh my goodness. So, going back to lucid dreaming and PTSD, we talked about our PTSD dreams and obviously how horrible they were and how not fun they were. But just to like really emphasize this, it is really, really hard to become lucid in a dream that's sparked by PTSD. Because in the way that, so like normal dreams, right? Every dream is very much rooted in emotion. And dreams are all about you and how you're feeling and what you're doing. And like, they're very self-centered. And a PTSD dream is like that on steroids, because the experience that you're fixated on is one that was real and you actually lived through. And so it has that feeling of reality. And it also has that overwhelming emotion that came with the experience, because that's something that really happened to you. And it's something that, because of the PTSD, you're still actively feeling. And so even though you've like shoved it down and it's in this little bottle deep down in your stomach, like you're still feeling the emotion. And that's part of the disorder, is that the emotions and the stress are actively ongoing. And so in the dream, that's really something that you see and that you feel, because it's a real emotion. And it's not just in a situation manufactured by the dream. It's something that's in reality true. And in this like vein of conversation, right, obviously becoming lucid in a dream that's been sparked by trauma is way harder than becoming lucid in a normal dream, because it requires a level of distancing yourself that really is unbelievable. And I do want to mention that for the second part of this episode, I'm interviewing someone else other than Hawa, even though I love her dearly, because one of the listeners reached out and was like, hey, like, you know, I have actually been able to become lucid in dreams sparked by my trauma. And she was like, you know, do you want me to talk about that? And I was like, please, yes, that's so cool. Especially because that's something I have never been able to do. I wasn't able to do that. So that'll be cool. And like, props to her already for doing that. But, you know, becoming lucid here is really difficult. But I also think, and therapists think too, this isn't me like throwing this out, but it has a practical use, because people who are able to do that can directly overcome and face these traumas, like when they feel like they're like physically standing there. And so while I was doing research for this episode, like everyone listening needs to start celebrating right now, because for the first time I actually found like a site where they said, like, you know, you can use lucid dreaming to help people overcome PTSD. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I've never heard anyone say that. Literally, I was like, where am I in the footnotes? Like, dude, they need to give me my credit. So I don't know. Yeah. So I have used the Sleep Foundation before as a source for this podcast, but sleepfoundation.org, they talked about it specifically, and like, A plus to them for mentioning that. So amazing. Also, sunbehavioral.com. I think they're actually like a clinic. I'm not telling you to try their services, but I am telling you that in this article they had, they mentioned getting over PTSD nightmares. And so I have a little excerpt right here from the article that I want to talk about, just because it's very specific and I thought that we should talk about the process specifically a little bit. So one of the ways that they recommend that you can cope with PTSD nightmares is called image rehearsal therapy, or IRT, ERT. So ERT is where you go over the nightmare and you make up, essentially you're rewriting the story. So you take the nightmare and you write it out so that the scary thing doesn't happen, or the scary thing is something else, or the dream just ends differently. And so you're taking this scary story that you told yourself, which is the dream, and you're saying, no, I think it should end like this instead. And so the example that they used was that maybe instead of you being chased by whatever the monster is, you replace the monster with something that you don't think is scary, like a puppy. And so in the dream, you're running from the monster. And when you wake up, you're like, no, 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 no. How about instead I'm running from a puppy and the puppy just wants to give me kisses. And like, it's just a way to take something that's really scary and that's not fun for you to experience and be like, no, no, like we can make this better, you know? And it's just a way to change it in your mind and be like, no, you know, we can fix this and we can make it better. Because you're not talking specifically about the trauma here. That's something that you can only do in therapy. Like, let's just say that. Like, whatever happened to you, you cannot shove it down. You cannot just be like, what if instead something else happened? Like, no, 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 no. That doesn't work. That's not a healthy coping mechanism. But you can take the symptoms and like just nightmares that you know are related but are not actually that and be like, you know, I know I'm having a lot of nightmares that are giving me a lot of anxiety. And alongside the therapy that I'm already doing, I can try ERT and I can rewrite the dream so that the monster chasing me is not a monster. It's just a puppy. And it just wants to give me kisses. And it's so soft. And I love the puppy. And like, it's okay, you know? And so it's just a way to take some of the fear out of what's happening and just make it easier for you to deal with.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because I was like, I don't think that would work for me because, yeah, it's always different. So I'd be like,
so I think that this one specifically is talking about recurring nightmares, because in this specific article that I got, they're talking about like they're saying that you should rewrite it every day. Like every day that you have the nightmare, which is why I think it's recurring, they're saying like, you know, rewrite it and like make it better. And so I think that their goal is to morph one existing nightmare into something else, which obviously makes sense. I think it would probably be easier if it was recurring to become lucid and all of that. Like, I think just in general, probably one that was not about the direct trauma, but related to it, like a monster or something that was recurring, I think that that would be easier to become lucid in. Than a different thing every time, because then it's like you're fighting on all sides, you know what I mean? It's like yeah, because it's different, right? Yes. And so I do think that this would only work, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a therapist and I didn't invent the method, but like I think I know this is my article, guys, I'm plugging my article, but like, as someone who has lucid dreamed before and had PTSD, I don't think that this would work just as a general thing. But I think that if you had a recurring dream or dreams with a similar element to them, you could probably replace that element with something better. And I think that would be really helpful. Like for me, this probably could have worked. Like, because all of my dreams were relatively similar. They all took place at the doctor's office or at the hospital. And, like, they always had a setting in common. And so I probably could have made it so that, like, whenever I was in one of those situations, I could just, like, leave. You know what I mean? Like, literally all it would have taken would be for me to have a door that I can walk out of and go into, like, the house moving castle garden of flowers, right? It's like, see ya, like, peace out, guys, I'm gonna go find Howl, like, screw all of you. So for me, it probably would have worked, but only for those dreams. So any sort of related dreams that I had that were just from anxiety or whatever, this isn't gonna help. Only therapy is gonna help that. So this episode is not about replacing therapy for anyone. Yeah. And it is helpful to, even because, like, obviously therapy is its own thing and it's different when there's a licensed professional helping you and giving you tools to get through panic attacks and stuff like that. But in general, it is really scary when you have something that you're dealing with just to talk about it. Like, it is so hard to open your mouth and speak about it. Like, it is like there's like a barrier that's keeping the words from coming out of your mouth. And sometimes you don't have the words. And that is really hard in and of itself. And so even just hearing other people like you and I, Hawa, like talking about things that we've overcome, like even that is a little bit helpful because it's like, okay, you know, like Hawa has been through all this and like Jennifer went through what she went through and like they are able to talk about it. And it's like, you, even though there are steps that seem like they're really small, like they mean a lot. Like I would have never, ever been able to talk about this if I hadn't gone. Whenever I used to talk about this, I would have just tears running down my face. Just like I could not hold them back. And I would just be talking about it and like my voice would just like break. Like it was so hard for me to even think about it. And now I'm at a place where I'm like, yeah, like I can talk about this with people and like I'm able to think about it. And for me, in the therapy that I did EMDR therapy, which is the eye movement desensitization. And for me, that worked really well because if you don't know, it's a visualization technique. And for me, that worked because I have a very good imagination, obviously. I lucid dream. I talk to you guys about my dreams all the time. So my imagination is thriving and it's alive and well. And so for me, that worked really well because I was very well able to visualize things and like go through things. And it helped me a lot. But just like talking about it, like I said, was hard. But like I went through it and I went through the EMDR and I was able to talk about it. And now look where we are. Like Hawa can testify that there are no tears on my face. Like, no tears. Just yes. Yeah, I have highlight. I know, it's pretty good. I hope I'm not shiny all over.
No tears on your face, just highlighter, which is really nice. She's shining. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I have such a specific memory, sophomore year. Because I'm dumb. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to talk. See, that's what I was talking about. I'm being mean to my past self. Let me rephrase that. I'd be gentle to her. She was a minor. I'm literally neurodivergent and a minor. No. But my past self, for when I was writing essays for college, I wanted to talk about the sexual assault that happened to me. And at the time, I could not say rape. I literally, if I heard the word, automatic panic attack. Like, I couldn't hear it at all. But I wanted to talk about it because I was like, you know, like, I want to talk about it. So I, like, wrote a whole personal essay, I remember, and I wrote about how, like, it affected me and how I couldn't hear this word. And I sent it in to a teacher, and then I got it back, and she gave me, like, a D. And yeah, she gave me a D because honestly, the writing was shit. I didn't write it very good. Yeah. Anyways, we have beef with Miss Brown. But I remember Miss Brown, if you're listening to this, canceled, doxed. Twitter will have a field day. But yeah, no, she. You're gonna get canceled for canceling Ms. Brown. That's crazy. It's a cancellation. Ooh. Anyways, but she gave me a D, and she like was just giving me constructive criticism. But to me, I felt like she was like constructing like my trauma or whatever. So I remember I saw it and I read it, and I was like, did I do anything right when I wrote this? And I remember I started crying like horribly. And I remember this so specifically. This teacher came up to me and she was so worried about me. I didn't go to my next class. And she read the paper and she looked at me and she was like, Hawa, did somebody rape you? And I remember so clearly, I screamed. I was like, don't say that word. And I was crying and I was screaming. And I was just like, don't say it. Don't say it. Because in my mind, I was like, if you say it, then it means it's true. It means it happened. And so I was like screaming and crying and yelling at her. And she just held me. And it was the first time someone actually comforted me. And I was just like, I need help. No, I was like, I need to go to therapy. I need to get help. But I couldn't get help, the help I needed, because I wasn't ready for it, because I was suppressing it for so long. And that's why I started manifesting in these like dreams, in these like weird ways. And sometimes it would be so bad where I was like, because naturally I'm just a person that lives in the present. Like I just live in the moment. Sometimes too in the moment. Where this happens, where I live so in the moment that when something like this happens, it feels like my life is over. And then I'm like, I'm gonna kill myself. Not good. That's not good. Listen to me. Hey, that's not good. Don't do that. But obviously, I was a minor. And at that time, I was a minor. But like at that time, that was the most serious thing that happened to me. So I was like, I can't keep doing this. I'm gonna freaking yeet myself off a balcony or something. And so that's why for me, this is kind of segueing, but for me, analyzing my dreams really helped me understand my trauma, because I didn't have the resources or the people to talk to understand it. So just analyzing my dreams and understanding what my subconscious was trying to tell me, because if you're an avid listener of Jennifer's podcast, then you would know the episode where she talked about your relationship with your subconscious. And in theory, your subconscious is basically you, right? It's you. It sees and hears everything that you usually don't. And so at night, it processes everything. But because of this trauma and because of how much I was repressing it and not allowing myself to talk about it or acknowledge it, and just like how visceral my reaction was to it, obviously, my subconscious naturally was hiding stuff from me. So like, for example, I don't remember my abuser's face. Thank God. My subconscious is hiding that from me really well. I appreciate that. But another thing, like thanks mom, appreciate it. But another thing is the abuse that I experienced happened in the dark and I didn't remember that. So for the longest time, I had this super irrational fear of the dark. And I didn't understand why. I was like, I don't understand. This is so stupid. Until I started to analyze my dreams. And then I opened up that repressed memory. And I was like, oh, shit. That's why I'm afraid of the dark. And I'm not going to lie. I'm still afraid of the dark. I fixed it now where I have lights in my room. Make yourself comfortable. Don't care what people say. Like, if people are like, you're afraid of the dark, you have a nightlight. Yes, Jessica, I have trauma. Leave me alone. Like, in any shape, form, capacity, no. Like, don't care what people say about you. Easier said than done, of course. But your comfort is more important than people's opinions. So, yeah. So that's, dream analysis really, really helped me, like, understand my subconscious when I didn't have the ability to go see a therapist or just have people to talk to. Just because, obviously, the topic is very dark. And so some people who haven't experienced it, or people who have experienced it, I personally didn't want to talk to my friends who have experienced it because I didn't want to trigger them because it's so traumatic. But like, I needed to talk to somebody. So journaling also really helped, just like journaling it out and then like burning the journal afterwards, which sounds like extreme, but like it helps to like get the thoughts. Yeah, it helps to like get the thoughts out of your head so that way you can sleep better. But yeah, I don't know why I went on that tangent.
No, that was so good. That was really good. And actually, too, with the journaling, that could literally be, if this is something that is like really, it really affects you, that could be even the same journal that you write all your dreams in. Like, it could be like, here's this dream, and then it's like, here's my reflection on the dream. And like really like trying to understand it. Or if you want, you could separate the bad dreams from the good dreams in a different journal and be like, no, like these are the ones that I am trying to get over and that I don't like. And these are the ones that are good and that I do like and I want to focus on. And like you could really draw a line in the sand and remember the Alamo. No, you'd be like, no, like, these are the ones that I like and that are good, and these are the ones that I don't like, and I'm trying to process them. But actually, that so this literally, that actually reminded me, and I actually forget this a lot, but my freshman year of high school, we had a speaker come in, and it was for, like, suicide prevention, and they came into my English classroom, and they were like, honestly, I don't know if it was okay that they were doing this, because it was really intense, but they were like, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you feel like you want to, then raise your hand if you have attempted to commit suicide. And it was like, it was not just how they opened, it was after a long talk, and but it was like, they were like, you know, this is like a place where all being vulnerable about this, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to, you can. And I was like so shocked, because literally a third of the people in there raised their hand, and it was like, those were just the people that had felt like they were able to do that. And it was like, things like depression and like anxiety and PTSD and like all these things, and things that elicit things like, you know, suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. Like, we're going into this a little bit, and I won't stay here for a long time because I know it's really hard. But like, that's something that, again, you're not alone in. Like, so many people have experienced that before. And for me, in my own family, in the last 2 years, a family member of mine, not in my immediate family, but in my extended family, actually took their own life. And it was very difficult. And it's something that I have personal experience with as well. During my whole health, like, crisis that I was in, I was not, like, my illness was not terminal, but it was having physical effects on my body. And it was very obvious from looking at me that I was not healthy. And I actually had a girl that I knew who was in a car accident. She was hit by a bus. And I thought, during my, like, whole pain and all the things that I was going through, I was like, well, you know, if I want to, I could just step in front of a bus and it would be over. And, like, I thought about that for probably a week straight. Like, I was just, that was all I thought about. And I was like, I could do that if I really wanted to. And I mean, it ended and I was just like, no, like, I can't do that. But, like, it was there. And it really was something that I considered seriously. And it's something that a lot of people have had to face before. And it's not something that's, like, so rare. And, like, something that, like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one. It's, like, a lot of people have faced that before. And even though it's extremely difficult to talk about, it is something that no one needs to feel like they're by themselves with.
Yes, exactly. Not to, like, plug my podcast, but I do have a podcast bonus episode where I talked about, in October of 2021, October 11th, I actually tried to take my own life. And I talked about, it was a whole mess. My school has issues. They did not handle that correctly. I got arrested. So it was a whole thing. But why did I bring that up? I literally just forgot why I brought that up. You're not alone. And that, like, I remember that those couple of months when I was, like, dealing with it, I felt very alone, and I was alone, but I wasn't. A lot of people experience it, and the feelings that come with it, and, like, the feelings of, like, just the feeling that you don't want to live is a very intense emotion in itself. So you're not alone. There's a bunch of resources in the link of that episode as well. There probably will be resources in the link of this so many resources. Yeah, there's probably going to be a bunch of links that you can check out and talk to. And then also, like, you can, I don't want to speak for both of us, but I'm going to. you can, like, talk to us. Like, I'm more than okay with talking to you guys about PTSD and mental health and how important it is, especially since the American healthcare system is fucked. Super fucked. So,
yes. Yes. And just as a society, we're still getting over stigmas that have been around for so long. And like people are just starting to acknowledge that like depression is a real thing. Like, and it's like PTSD is a real thing and anxiety is a real thing. And these are physical problems that you can see in people's physical brains. And it's like, and just like PTSD, like anyone can have these problems. And you're not, even though in your social circle, maybe you feel like you're by yourself or you are by yourself, in the grand scheme of the world, there are so many people that have gone through literally the exact same thing.
I just remembered what I wanted to talk about because we talked about it off camera, but self-diagnosing yourself. Yeah, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Don't listen to TikTok, okay? If you're getting information from TikTok, you failed, okay? Stop, please. But I think a lot of people, obviously, self-diagnosis is not good. You should go to a professional. But for some marginalized groups, obviously, women, people of color who happen to also be women, it's it's not easy to go to a medical professional because of access, right? You don't have, not a lot of people have the same access to doctors and healthcare professionals or even have healthcare. Like, I finally got healthcare and I don't have dental insurance. So I just have to, I'm just praying right now that my teeth don't freaking fall out. So either that or we talked about medical people. That sounds so mean. The medical people. The medical providers not believing patients, not giving certain patients. I live in Wisconsin, and even though I live in the most diverse place, I've gone to the hospital before and have doctors flat out not believe me, flat out ask me if I'm like, can you even afford to be here? Like those type of things. Like racial things. And it's so bad to the point where my mom was like, you know what, just let me die. Like, if something happens to me, let me die. Like, I'm not trying to go to the hospital because they're so disrespectful. So you can see how marginalized people might be really hesitant to go to a doctor in the first place when their experience has been like medical gaslighting and just not being believed or being questioned or being accused of stealing drugs or just not having an access. Like, the nearest doctor is like 40 miles away and they can't get there. So, excuse me, if you are going to self-diagnose, make sure you're looking at reputable sources and make sure you're like, there's amazing like YouTubers like Dr. Mike, other YouTubers I can't remember on YouTube that you can watch that will like help you understand certain disorders and all of those things. And then if you feel like you have one of these disorders at that point, you should go to a doctor and have it confirmed. But you shouldn't go on TikTok and be like, oh my God, I read books, I must have ADHD, and go on with your life. Okay. Yeah, everyone, their mothers, their frogs, their snails that died. Like, everyone got ADHD, but whatever. But yeah, that's just something I wanted to mention. Just because not everyone, for example, with me and Jennifer was able to get help with her PTSD, and I haven't been able to get help. I'm still waiting to get help. I'm supposed to have a doctor appointment in May. They pushed back my doctor appointment last time, so hopefully I finally see this therapist so I can get help. But like, those different things, we've had to find our own ways to help ourselves in the process of getting it. It can be really hard to find a therapist, to get a therapist, to keep a therapist. They cost money, all of that jazz. So there are alternative ways. Ooh, sorry, Mike. There are alternative ways to get help and stuff. Even probably like listening to this podcast and listening to two people's experiences with PTSD and mental health. That could probably be helpful too. I don't know. Here's some advice that I got from Black Twitter that I'm going to give you guys. If you ever go to the doctor and you ask for a specific treatment, right? You said, I want to get a scan. I want to check on myself. And they are like, no, I don't think that's necessary. Then you'd be like, okay, if it's not necessary, I want you to fill it out. I want you to fill out a report and tell them why you denied me this with plausible reason. And 9 times out of 10, they're not going to do that. They're just going to give you what you asked for. Because sometimes they're just like, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Like, it's okay. But technically speaking, yeah, they're the professional, but you live in your own body. So you know when something's wrong. You know when something's off.
So we already covered PTSD symptoms manifesting in dreams. There are a lot of different ways for that to happen. PTSD's relationship with your subconscious mind. I did want to mention, and we kept talking, so I didn't. So this is good we circled back. I actually did, because you always hear about people having like repressed memories and stuff. And like that's something that especially like TV shows and movies are literally obsessed with. Like they're like, oh my gosh, like it turns out she had a repressed memory. And you're like, oh my. And she remembers at the perfect time. And you're like, really? Like, is that really how it works? And like, I know. Yes. And it's like, wow, she's just fine. Like she's just standing there remembering. And she's like, that's fine. Like she's unaffected. No. Kicking. Yeah, but like I wanted to mention that therapy is very important, as we've been saying. It is also important to go in and be like, yeah, you know, it's going to be difficult, but it's going to be worth it at the end. Because when I went to therapy, I actually uncovered multiple memories that I had repressed from the experience. I remember the experience. I only remember it through my perspective. So I know that for me, it was like a really big deal. It was just that like, you know, there was this one time that I was in there and I had been in the ER for like 8 hours and it was the middle of the night. And, there was a, like, he was pretty young. He was probably like a resident or something at the hospital. Cause like, he was just so young. He probably wasn't even like a full doctor yet, but he was like, I was like in the bed and I was in so much pain and he was like talking to the other doctor and he was like, oh my God, like I've never seen something like this before. Like he was like, and I just remember in the moment, like how scared he was. And like, he was so afraid seeing me and how sick I was that I was just overcome with guilt. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel bad that he has to see me in this. And I felt so horrible for him because I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm like traumatizing him. And it was like, I had totally repressed that because it was like such a horrible moment for me that I had repressed it. And I was like, I'm going to forget that. And then I went to therapy and I was like, oh my gosh. And then there was another one and it was like, I mean, I don't think I really need to talk about it because it's kind of medicine specific. Like if you don't know what's going on, then you wouldn't understand it because it was just like this procedure that they did. And it was like, it sucked for me. Like it was very painful and it was horrible. And that was extremely traumatic for me. And it was like, I wasn't actually like the true thing that happened was not really all that horrible. It was just that the setting that I was in and the culmination of everything for me was so bad that I was like, I'm forgetting that. And it was like, I'm covering that up and I'm throwing it in the attic of my mind and I'm never going to open it again. And then, like, I remember the day of therapy that I got that memory back, because it was just like so horrible for me to remember. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that happened. And it was like, for me, and I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I know that for me, my therapy was mostly about just accepting that what had happened was really horrible. And, you know, a child didn't deserve to go through that. And that it's in the past. And I need to move on. And I need to just let it go. And like, for me, that was what therapy basically was. And it was really just like kind of accepting that it had happened, because the whole time I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And it was like, that's what I was kind of stuck with. I was like, I can't believe it. And then I was like, okay, I have to calm down and be like, you know, it happened. And it was just something, it's just something that happened to me in the course of the long life that I'll live, you know? And it's like, that was a small, in the span of my whole life, a few months is nothing. And it's just something that I have to just leave, because now I'm going to get older and have new experiences and go through more things in the future, no doubt. And it's like, I don't need to be dealing with something that happened way back when. For me now going forward, I guess for me, I'm just like, you know, that was something that I had to go through, and it was not something that I wanted to go through. And I hate when people freaking say like, well, you know, that made you who you are, and so it was worth it. It's like, yes, freaking, I hate when people say that. I'm like, you cannot speak on, first of all, what happened to me, not on what happened to other people, like my girl Hawa. Like, you don't know. You weren't there. And also, I'm glad that your experiences, whatever they were, made you who you are. But I took my experience and I chose who I would be as a result of that. I chose who I would be as a person and how I would move forward. It's not that that experience like forged me in the fire or whatever. No, like, yeah, no.
Thank you. Oh my God. I will always say that. I hate when people were like, but it made you stronger. I didn't need to be strong. I was 11. I needed to be a child. I needed to be held and comforted and all of that stuff. And now because of that, there are going to be lifelong issues that I will have. So don't. Here's some advice, guys. Girly pops, boily pops, non-binary pops. Let me tell you something. Never say that to anyone. Okay? Thank you. It's not good, because I will punch you in the face. I will. It's the same thing of people who are like, everything happens for a reason. I don't care if you are religious. I am also religious, you know? Everyone in the chat right now is religious. But there's a time and place to say that. You don't say that to someone after they've opened up about this traumatic experience. And then you go, well, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. And that is not the whole, like, you know, and even being like, well, like, people are like, well, you know, it happened in the past, like, it's over now. It's like, do you think that's helpful? Like, especially because when inside you're beating yourself up because you know that, like, you're like, I know that it's over. And I am actively trying to, like, tell myself, like, it's over. Why am I like this? It's like, you saying that to me does not help me at all. It's so...
Just shut up. It's okay if you've never been through something traumatic or you've never experienced something. That's actually, like, so good. Like, I'm proud of you. But, like, then if you don't know... Wow. Not my phone ringing. Ignore her. But... if you don't know the, like, what it's like, then just shut up and let the person talk. If you've never experienced it, just Just shut up. It's okay. You don't have to say anything. Just, like, give them the room to talk. I would always hate when people would be, like, trying to relate to me when they clearly didn't. Just shut up. Yeah, being like, wow. You don't have to lie. Like, even, like, people comparing. I remember this one person compared that trauma I had to, like, the time their, like, snail died. And I was like, I know damn well you did not just. All right. Yeah. Why would you say that to me? Because it kind of makes it sound like I was destined to have this happen to me. Or you're justifying it? Because if you're saying everything happens to reason because that person thought it was okay to do that, yeah, I agree. I think it's because of his fault, not because of a divine power within. That's not okay. To me, it feels like belittling. It feels like you're belittling my trauma or trying to dismiss it and the effects.
Yeah, you know, if you don't know what to say or you don't know how to support someone, instead of saying something that could make it worse, sometimes it's better to just say, I don't know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. Yeah, because it's like, it's like, literally. It's like, it's, because, you know, maybe, so like, ultimately, I said at the beginning of the episode, everyone goes through things that are very difficult. Everyone goes through, like, traumatic events throughout their life. But they are all very different, obviously. Like, you can't compare issues. You can't compare traumas. Don't do that. Like, your snail dying. Like, I have beef with her. We have beef. If she's listening, I'm coming for you. Guys, if I ever learn her address, I'm doxing her. People are gonna cancel me for saying that. So, this has been a pretty crazy episode, and I thought that it would turn out something like this. Like, because obviously we're talking about, like, trauma, but I'm still surprised somehow. Because it was like, I wanted to talk about dreams, obviously, and we did. But we also talked a lot about just, like, personal stuff. And, like, I think it's so good for people to know, again, that other people go through not the same experience. And we're not comparing experiences here. But other people understand. And obviously, on this episode, I will have a lot of mental health resources linked. Because, holy crap, we talked about a lot of stuff. So we're gonna need some links down there. But yes, dude, I'm gonna have to go back and I will record a new intro to just put at the beginning and be like, hello, these are the warnings, be aware we talk about these things in this episode, because I want everyone to know before going in that we're gonna be talking about stuff, because some people aren't at the place in their healing journey that they can deal with stuff yet, and that's totally okay. And we want to support those people. So I'll go back and I'll make sure that they know before they listen that that's coming up. And Hawa, do you want to just, like, say your podcast name again? And, like...
Yes. So if you want to hear crazy dreams, such as me being trapped in a simulation, or a dream where I'm stuck on a cruise ship with my family and I have 10 minutes to get them off before a giant wave kills us all, or about a dream where I'm transported to a magical school and I have to figure out what's going on, then you might be interested in my podcast, which is called It's Just a Dream, where I tell all of my fantastical, crazy dreams in a storytelling fashion. And I also analyze my dreams. You can use me kind of as an example of analyzing my subconscious, seeing my process from the beginning to the end, if there's ever an end for the podcast. It's called It's Just a Dream. You can also follow us on Instagram at _ It's Just a Dream Podcast, where there's a bunch of dream facts, sleep facts, teasers, 2 new episodes, random updates about my life. If you want to see if I dyed my hair a crazy color, then yeah. And if you have any crazy fun dreams and you want me to analyze them or just want to tell me, you can email me at itsjustadreampodcast2@gmail.com, and I will be more than happy to share your dreams. And maybe I'll get Jennifer on the podcast and we'll analyze your dreams. Try some dream analysis. Yeah, thank you. I also I want to thank you, and I really appreciate you for being really open to me and telling me about your issues and having that trust with me. I'm really grateful for that. So I want to thank you so much for just allowing me to see this part of you. I really appreciate that, truly.
Jennifer, don't cry, please. I'm sorry.
But yeah, like, know that I appreciate it, and I took everything you said. I'm internalizing it, and I just really appreciate that openness.
Thanks. Guys, we have a good female friendship representation on this podcast. So thank you guys so much for listening, and please go and check out all of Hawa's stuff, support her, listen to her podcast. I listen to it. I really like it. Always. All right. Okay. Thanks, guys, and dream on.